Good afternoon. Fuck you, I love you. It's almost 1 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, which from here on out, according to my edict, will be called Boblimpdok Zone Alpha Zero Z. If you come to Boblimpdok Zone Alpha Zero Z, you're going to have to buy a blue jumpsuit. You're going to have to wear Adidas. You're going to have to shave your head if you want to come to Boblimpdok Z. It's a special place for the human race. Our compound will be renowned among the many left behind on planet Zimbra 75 Alpha Bravo Charlie. This is chapter 2 in the ongoing Danifesto Manifesto, the tome that will become your home, the means by which you will liberate yourself of sideways secret thinking and suboptimal optimism and positive mental attitude around your P90X. Yeah, I do the cross training. I do CrossFit. I know you do, fucker. I did it when I was in the army too. Chapter 2 of Boblimpdok Towards a New Lurching. Chapter 2 of Boblimpdok Towards a New Lurching. Sovietology and Seeing Through the Trauma Monkeys. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, we talked about psychological warfare. And, you know, there's a lot more to it than what we discussed. Probably several years of school, hundreds of books you can read, many studies you can review. It's a big topic, and a lot of money has been put into it, a lot of resources, by DARPA, by the DOD, and, you know, by the Nazis who we imported with Project Paperclip. Huh, ask Mega Man Trump about Paperclip. This chapter, we're going to talk about one of those means by which you can protect yourself. Another fact about the previous chapter, it was pretty long, a lot to listen to. No one wants to read that shit. So I'll try to be more parsimonious from here on out. It's a Danifesto, not Atlas Shrugged. Sovietology developed as a discipline at CIA Langley during the Cold War. American analysts had the job of reviewing Soviet newspapers, journals, books, etc., all for the purpose of deriving useful information from what is superficially propaganda garbage. It kind of worked in the way reversing entropy can kind of work, but not really. You could say Sovietology is a subset of hermeneutics, the study of true meaning in text, and its, you know, sister study, literary criticism, is just as accurate. But it's still useful. I mean, if you practice it correctly, it can help. As a Sovietologist, your job is to keep track of lies, things you know for certain are lies. If somebody says 2 plus 2 equals 5, you know it's a lie. You keep track of obvious contradictions. For example, during Trump's previous administration, I think the year was 2017 or 2018, pre-Boblimpdok, the Trump administration issued two white papers. One white paper said, "There's never been more Arctic ice. Never in the history of the world has the Arctic Sea had more ice," according to this white paper. The other white paper said that the Arctic was open for business. One of these white papers can be true. They both can't be true, sorry. So keep track of contradictions. At least it allows you to throw stuff out. Have your marker pen wipe out both statements because they contradict each other. And number 3, interpret the use of propaganda by your enemy and what that might imply. This is another way of saying, why At the time, let's say it was the 1970s, why was the Brezhnev government showing the Soviet people what the Brezhnev government was showing them? Why was it telling the lies it was telling them? This is squishier. This is harder. This is where you get more into reading tea leaves. And frankly, a lot of your bias can go into this. So it's a spooky discipline and about as scientific as handwriting analysis or phrenology. But it's also not crazy, and we should read the news with an eye to identifying, number one, what we know is true. I mean it. If you see a video on TikTok of something crazy, like some young man of a certain color beating up a woman of another color, how do you know that story is true? How do you know the video is true? Identify what you know is false, specifically false. Make sure you do that. Believe it or not, focusing on true and false separately is helpful when you're reading this stuff. It keeps it less confusing. Focus on the contradictions. Focus on the contradictions, but also focus on the things that aren't said. You know, the silent part out loud, specifically the silent part. Focus on the subjects that are forbidden. Forbidden subjects, like, for example, punctuated equilibrium. Discussion of nitrous oxide in the context of, you know, climate change. The clathrate gun, permafrost collapse. I can keep going. Specifically, in the world of the climate, there are a whole bunch of subjects that you're not supposed to talk about. Those are things that you should dig into. And above all else, related to the aforesaid, and for all you bad-eating monkey children out there, beware of your own fucking bias. We all have bias. I have bias. You have bias. If you're reading an article and you want to say the Russians are going to nuke us, guess what? You're going to find it. That's how it works. Be careful of your bias and check your bias at the door if you're going to be a Sovietologist. So here it is. True, false, contradictions, forbidden, and bias. If you can remember those five concepts when you're reading a news article or looking at a video or listening to Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones or Joe Rogaine, the president of the Hair Club for Men, if you can remember the true, the false, contradictions, forbidden, and bias, you can attempt to decipher some of this bullshit propaganda you get fed, but I gotta tell you, it's still ugly. There's not enough space or time or relevance to go into any one forbidden topic. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that forbidden subjects are subjects that are outside of the Overton paddock. For example, if you say Epstein committed suicide, then you're right there in the paddock with the other sheep, listening to the wolf giving speeches. And if you say Epstein was murdered, well, you're right there in the paddock with the other wolves. You might be closer to the fence, you know, listening to an edgelord. But in reality, you're right where they want you. If you propose, because frankly, a guy like that has a dead man's switch or two, if you know, you know. If you propose that Epstein's not fucking dead at all, well, then you're way outside the fucking paddock. Way outside. These are subjects that are forbidden. In Sovietology, you want to look at these subjects. It doesn't mean they're true. You got to be really careful, but you have to look at them. You have to look into them. As a Sovietologist, you need to identify those areas of thought that are blacked out or redacted. These spaces that are hidden often, but not always, indicate a subject of importance. Think about the bunker madness of the last 15 years. You read an article in Wired magazine, and the headline says, Zuckerberg has a secret bunker in Hawaii. Zuckerberg has a secret bunker in Hawaii. Please, please, folks, friendly Sovietologists, this one's easy. This one's low-hanging fruit. You can read the headline, and you can pretty much figure it out. Secret bunker in Hawaii. Really? Now, if you're going to build a bunker, as I've said in the past, Antarctica is an ideal location for a long-term safe zone. It's basically a desert from a climate perspective, so in case of nuclear war, fallout will be less of a concern. It's geographically isolated like a motherfucker and has massive stores of underground fresh water. According to some reports, Admiral Byrd, the continent is rich in coal, uranium, and other natural resources that a technological breakaway civilization would need. It's a buried place, only ever discussed in terms of research and cruises and extreme skiing that you might see at McDonald's, but ordinary people don't know much about it. During the height of the Cold War, both the USA, and its arch enemies set aside Antarctica as a nature preserve, which is weird if you understand Soviet and U.S. behavior during that period. You know, the Soviets, they set off a 60-megaton bomb in the Arctic Circle, you know, right above permafrost. That's only about, 100,000 years old. And the United States did all kinds of crazy-ass shit, too, that I don't want to go into. So I do not believe they set aside Antarctica because they care about nature. The key point is Antarctica is a forbidden topic in the context of bunkers, which is just weird. Who knows? When investigating forbidden ideas, concepts, words, think also in terms of scope, which resonates with the Overton Paddock model. What is the allowable scope of that article you're reading? What are the allowed options? If you pick door number three, so to speak, then what? Ridicule, isolation, censorship? This is also known as coloring outside the lines. Look to the part of the story that's written in invisible ink. Of all the pitfalls for a Sovietologist, one of the most problematic is bias, as I mentioned. Sure, this impacts many forms of study, but it's still important to isolate in the process. You might want to infer something that is not supported by the limited evidence you have. Don't do it. For many years post-Great Financial Crisis, starting in 2010, I would see and hear a constant sort of statement repeated by many, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. It irked me because it did not fit with logic or math or common sense or free enterprise or random fucking nature itself. But my bias kept me from seeing completely how manufactured and corrupt the markets were. My bias kept me from realizing that buy the dip was ironic bullshit. And what they were really saying was, you know, the central banks will pump these markets forever or until they can't, and forever lasts as long as it does. Your bias as an amateur Sovietologist or hermeneuticist of media can and does impact how you see and read the news and consume other sources of information. You can approach a subject with scientific disinterest, but it's hard to make your unconscious self disinterested or indifferent. So always be on watch for things you might be seeing in the text you're analyzing that might not be there, but only there because you want it to be there. I promised a shorter chapter this time, and I'll stick to it. Summary. When evaluating propaganda, don't assume that there is nothing to learn from it. While evaluating propaganda, be very disciplined. Identify the lies, identify the contradictions, identify forbidden subjects, and then ask yourself, why am I seeing this? Don't forget the simple list for focusing analysis: true, false, contradictions, forbidden topics, and bias. Your bias, and to some extent, their bias, is critical. Good morning, excuse me, rather, good afternoon, and good morning, and fuck you, and I love you.